So you also mentioned when we were talking earlier that you have constant 13-hour flights back and forth. You're always busy. So you have a little downtime. You're trapped on a plane. What do you do with those 13 hours? How do you spend your time when you just have to sit?
That is actually the most beautiful time to me because I have time to reflect and think. I think about the projects. I think about the trials. I sometimes get crazy scientific ideas. And nowadays you have Wi-Fi on the plane as well. And my teammates tell me we never get so many emails with all these different ideas from you as when you are on the plane. Because then I'm kind of detached from people and meetings and talking. And it really gives me kind of liberty to be creative and to think what we want to do next. And I think this is quite useful, honestly. I try to spend it really focusing on those aspects that sometimes I don't have time in the office.
Wow, you are just consistently turning the gears. You say you have some crazy ideas. Where do you think, in your wildest dreams, where do you think the technology is going to end up?
I think it will be, if we do it right, I think this will be hopefully something that will become standard of care in drug development, in clinics, looking at various diseases. I see potential way beyond oncology. And we also already have collaborations in the area outside of oncology, such as musculoskeletal diseases, such as osteoarthritis. So drug development for osteoarthritis, which again, mechanical properties have a huge role into how our knees work, how our joints work, right? Understanding what causes the diseases, how can we better treat them. I think this is something that I see also as a potential application, integrating all this massive amount of data. I think the wildest dream for me is that we can use this platform for every patient that comes into a clinic, and we can say, wow, based on our database, we can now plan your treatment options. You know, it's not about precision, it's about personalizing that. For every patient, we have a unique approach. And we are still very far from that. I have no illusions that is going to happen tomorrow. But we are working towards that. And I think that's what keeps me going, what keeps me excited about the next step and also expanding. You know, currently we work in breast cancer. We have now starting to work in areas such as lung cancer, pancreas cancer. Pancreas cancer is something... It's not a huge portion of patients, but a highly unmet need because the survival rates are close to zero. So there is a lot to do. And again, a very interesting problem persists in pancreas cancer, where this environment around the tumor seems to be very, very important. And this environment is also reflected with specific physical properties. And I think we can provide some unique information there. So this is something that is kind of imminently coming as an exciting project. Then lung cancer. Recently, I had a conversation with some of the colleagues, and they were like, you're working on lung cancer? And also we try to optimize immunotherapy. That's one of our next goals in lung cancer. And then the question was, how can that work together? And I answered, well, what is the major problem currently with immunotherapy? We see a lot of patients do not respond. And often the reason why they do not respond is because the drugs, the immunotherapy, even though patients qualify, they express the right receptors, but the drugs can't come in. And these physical properties that we were talking about of this environment around the tumor, they prevent the drugs from coming in. And not only that, they also prevent the right type of immune cells to be present in order for this immune therapy to work. And so there are ways how we can disturb this physics of that environment around the tumor. But if we don't know the right numbers, how much can we radiate? How can we alter this scaffold around the tumor? We can't be precise in optimizing therapy. So it sounds a bit complicated, but it's actually pretty simple. And we can measure those tissues in a very, very unique way and say, oh, it has that particular stiffness, so that's what we need to do next. And So I'm really excited that we can provide value where there is no other technology around that can do that.
The way you talk, I love it because you get really excited, but you also know that you're a physicist because you're breaking these complex things down into their very basic components, very direct relationships. Were you always like that? Did you always, you know, have a knack for these kind of physical things?
Yes. I mean, that's why I studied physics, but I never thought I'm going to end up in biology and medicine. I think that's interesting. As my brother, who is also a physicist, will say, you don't do any more real physics. but I think I strongly disagree. I think everything is physics, as everything is biology, at least in the area where I work in. I let myself to... I didn't know where it's going to take me. So I let myself to be taken. You know, I look... for very interesting problems, and I try to solve them. And I think it gives me great pleasure when I see there is a value in that, and we can do something meaningful, like what happened at the end from my PhD project that turned into our tennis company. And also in the future, I don't know where this is going to go, but I think I will embrace any interesting opportunity that comes along and try to make the best out of it. Yeah.
Optimism and creativity are two of the best tenets that any entrepreneur can have. You also mentioned, though, that your brother is a physicist. What were your parents feeding you that just made you guys great at math?
Well, we are five kids, so I grew up in a kind of a lively family. I'm actually not Swiss, so we mentioned a little bit. I did my studies in Switzerland. I came to Switzerland because I got a fellowship from Roche for a short project, and then I stayed to do my graduate studies. But I actually originally come from Croatia, and so, you know, Croatia is a Mediterranean country, and it's part of our genotype, if you like, this energy and active nature. And so that's how we grew up, you know, pretty much being outside and not doing calculus from the age of three. I think I had a quite nice childhood. We were very free to explore different things, do sports, play around. So I don't remember that I was particularly forced to do anything, but it came somehow naturally. My parents are chemists, so there was a lot of kind of things we were exposed to just naturally as being part of that family. But it's out of five children, we are three in natural sciences. My sister is in bioengineering, brother is a physicist, I'm a physicist. So it does, environment does play a role. But I think what was very important, we always had a choice to do what we like. And I try to bring that across in my work and in my life, and also to my children.
I think the one really critical thing for maintaining a child who's going to develop themselves is to instill natural curiosity, but also self-esteem. You know, you want these children to be able to not be scared of failure. Yep. And it sounds like you come from a wonderful environment where you were allowed to explore things and figure things out for yourself. And maybe it, you know, developed into an analytical mindset, which is where you sit now. There's a really hard concept where people feel as though that the more information you input, the more you get out of it. But there's an emotional side of being a scientist whereby you have to want to pursue things.
Yes. I think that's actually detrimental. And not just as a scientist, but also as an entrepreneur. I think if you have the right idea and the right mindset, you will succeed. You can have the brilliant idea, but the mindset is not there. This persistence and hunger, you won't succeed. And I think there are many things you can learn along the way, but if you're not hungry to push and move forward, it will be very difficult to succeed. And I don't think you can force that. I there is a lot of discussions, and I see this, my children are now 13 and 8 when they started to go to school. What's the right way to educate kids? You know, we should we feed them with a lot of information? Should they learn five languages from the age of three? I'm not so sure. I don't think there is right or wrong also. I think if the child wants, they should, because it's about that hunger. And it's also about failure, as you rightfully mentioned. It's okay to fail. We had difficult times when our project in collaboration with this company that I mentioned failed. It was horrible, you know, and we were not sure that we can continue. But at that point, if you are determined, you start to be creative. You think, how I get out of this shit, right? You know, that's what brings you forward. And I think that's important at any stage. When you fall out, you know, when you are in the forest, when you play, that's how I spend my childhood out. And, you know, when you fall, you have to get up. It hurts, but you get up and you move on.
You mentioned the word hunger, and I love that. But having a hunger suggests that there's something you're hungry for, something you're chasing. So at the very core of all this, what are you chasing?
So I think you chase, or I chase, the success. And the success is not, for me, something personal about, you know, being the best or the top. But imagine, I remember when we first time brought the device into clinics, you know, and you get out of your comfort zone. It's not your research lab, and you succeeded bringing it where nobody else thought it can come. And it was a great feeling. And when we concluded the trial, was a great feeling. When we raised the first couple of millions, was a great. This year, we closed a round of 8.8 million. And when we started, it was really difficult. I was confident that we were going to make it, but then we started and it was like, yeah, this is such a new technology. Physics, but you know, genetics is now top. I don't understand. It got really, really difficult. And then we met one of the investors that actually comes from mathematics. And it was a very funny experience, because we talked with this person. And it was a great afternoon, because for the first time I felt, oh my God, somebody knows what we are doing. It's amazing. But I thought, you know, he's a mathematician. How much can this person invest, right? You know, this is prejudice sometimes we have. And then the next day I got a phone call, and it was a pretty massive investment. And from that day on, within a week, we closed the entire financial round of couple of millions. And so I think that is what you strive for these beautiful moments that you hope for, but you're not sure they're going to happen. And when they happen, it's amazing. Or like a lot of opportunities here. You know, when I first came to Houston to give a talk about what we do, everybody were kind of excited about the science, but like discussion was, how would that work in clinics? And then there was a professor here that is currently at Methodist in mathematical modeling, Vittorio Cristini, and he's a very funny, cool guy. And he said, let me introduce you to a couple of clinicians. Maybe it will be interesting for them. And then we see what happens. And we went talking to them, and I explained what we are doing. And some amazing collaborations that we are now pursuing came out of that. So, yeah, those are the things that excite me and keep me going, and I strive for these little successes that will grow into hopefully a big success.
There are a lot of key components I want in my scientists. I want them to be a little rebellious. You know, I want a little dash of ego in there. They have something to prove, even if nobody's agreeing with them.
It is important. I mean, you need to, I think, of course, the notion that you can do something that people think it's crazy and it's not possible has given rise to all the things we see, from electric cars, from Google, from a lot of things, that mobile phones, that are not necessarily in terms of even technology crazy, but just changing how the society looks at them and first takes them with a lot of resistance and then embraces, just shows that, of course, it needs a little bit of craziness and a little bit of ego to push that. And I think that's okay, as long as you don't forget that there has to, or that there is a meaning beyond you. You know, for me, patients are very important. It's very important that we can do something for the patients before everything else.
Defining a culture, making an impact on a broad population is a little bit crazy, but it sounds like something Artidis may be able to do. So with all of these things in mind, for our last question, I really want to know what you like the most about yourself. What is your favorite quality that's gotten you to the goals and to the successes that you've had?
That I can move on no matter the challenge and the problem, and I never let myself despair in any difficult situation. That, I think, it's probably...
That eternal optimism.
Yes.
Well, Maria, thank you very much for having a discussion with us.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Best of luck to you.
Thank you.